Yes, sir.
Open wide. Say ah.
Welcome to another episode of Open Wide Say Ah. With myself, Leka Lolas. Today I am joined by a friend and a common support that has surprised me and snuck into my life, where I keep up walls. This person who I do not know very intimately or personally for a long time, but a friend that I actually can call a friend. And throughout lockdown and corona times, we lost a lot of those peeps that we thought, you know, were in our inner circles. So welcome to Liesel, who is going to be talking about so many things today. But firstly, Liesel, let's introduce you. Who are you? What do you do? What are your pronouns? How do you identify? Yeah, just give us a little bit of Liesel.
Well, right now I identify as emotional after that introduction. I have a lot of love for you too. My name is Liesel, or the Lady Liesel, or Al Marion, depending on where you are looking for me. I write, I do embroidery art, I do interpersonal activism because physically being at protests makes me extremely anxious and I would probably throw up. My pronouns are she, they. And I'm just a queer person. A queer person who is pan, who is ace, demi, lesbian, sort of all of the above, you know, very, very fluid. And yeah, I don't really know.
That's good. I mean, there's probably some people listening going like, ace, what is ace? Ace, demi, what is that? And that's what we will get into today, you know. In a world that is hypersexualized, I, as a, you know, a femme person and being socialized as a woman, I am extremely sexualized from a young age. I think that's why I talk so much about sex and so openly about sex. And my brother asked me in the week, why do you always play the sexual character? And I think it comes to me and I go to it just because of the way that I've been perceived in the world and what everyone says to me or looks at me. But in such a hypersexualized world, we very seldomly talk about asexuality and being asexual and what that means and what that looks like. And I feel like if more people knew what it looks like and what it means to different people, and there was like a wide range of representation of people that fall in the bracket or identify as asexual, I think more people would, you know, be a part of that. There's apparently only 1% documented of the world that is asexual, even though that is billions of people. I think that's just because we do not know what asexual is. So, Liesel, not that you are the spokesperson for all asexual people, because it's the same as queer, you know?
It is an umbrella term.
But what, if you could help some of our listeners that are hearing this term for the first time, what is asexual? What falls into that umbrella?
Well, I'm going to start by saying, like, I thought about many things you just mentioned when you asked me, when you invited me to do this podcast, and I'd love to touch on all of them at some point in time. But asexual is an umbrella term, as you said, for people who are not sexual in many different ways, right? So typical asexuality is defined as a person who has no sexual feelings or desires or attraction to other people. And that can range from being sex averse, not wanting to have sex at all, to just being kind of like meh about it. You know, there's many different iterations of asexuality and what it means to be asexual. And I didn't know that I was ace for a very, very long time. But someone asked me one day, like, how do you feel about sex? As a femme body, as an AFAB person who was socialized as a girl and who now identifies as a woman and is okay with being called she and her. We have always been sexualized, right? And it's so ingrained in us. Like, we know that in some way people expect us to have sex and expect us to want it and expect us to engage in it enthusiastically when that's not always everyone's reality. Now, the other thing about that is, how do I phrase this? Because I don't want to be a nai. But but it is a bit fucked up because we are sexualized and then our AMAB counterparts are kind of sexually projected onto.
What's an AMAB counterpart?
So, for example, assigned male at birth, right? People who are socialized and raised as boys and who experience the world as men and who are perceived as men. They are socialized very, very different to AFAB people who are socialized and raised as girls and who experience the world as women.
So if AB Fab, which is female assigned at birth.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
People who were that, yes. Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like it's projected onto boys and men that they must conquer people with sex. And, you know, people who were AFAB must be the recipients of that. I mean, I remember being sexualized at a very, very young age. I have green eyes, which people tend to go on about. And my favorite song as a child used to be, ooh, ooh, ah, ah, sexy eyes. Do you know that one?
I wanna take you to Paris.
The very one. I used to love it. And then one day something happened, and my parents don't know what because they weren't there. But they played that song and I was like, put it off and don't talk about my eyes. Because someone had made me feel uncomfortable. Mm. I had already felt sexualized at such a young age. And I always knew it was coming for me. I knew that people simultaneously expected it of me and would judge me for it. And that sort of ties into how I started thinking about what my sexuality actually is and where I am in relation to asexuality. Because when I think back, I may have had what some people call a hypersexual phase, especially when I was in the closet, because you are trying to scratch an itch that is just not being scratched and you look for it, you know. And I realized how many times I'd had sex out of obligation, but not because I desired it in the first place. I feel that I'm fortunate enough that I can make my body do things. I can have like an internal dialogue and be like, okay, this is what we're about to do. Even though the initiation didn't come from me, the desire did not come from me. And that's where we start to talk about asexuality.
I mean, I think that it's actually a really important conversation that should be had and taught at primary school already.
Mm.
Because then you are not going to necessarily traumatize yourself in having this expectation of desiring sex. And, you know, I know some asexual people that they still obviously partake in sexual acts and want to have sexual acts. They still masturbate. They still find pleasure in that. But there's not necessarily a desire to seek out the sex. You know, if it happens, it's like, okay, that was liquor.
Mm.
But the initiation didn't come from them, or they're not seeking, and there's a separation between fantasizing about it and actually doing it.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't want some people to walk away and go like, oh, okay, all asexual people do not desire any sex or any sexual encounters or activities. Within the asexual umbrella, there's obviously space for those that have desire, right?
Yes, very much so. And I think that's where we can have demisexual enter the chat.
Mm.
I definitely identify with this title or label very much, because I do find that I only have a sexual attraction when I have an emotional or mental connection with someone else.
Mm.
And that's what demisexuality is.
Yeah.
It means, yes, you do have sexual attraction, but only once a different connection has been established. What I found, because I looked online about this because I wanted to see what other people are saying.
Mm.
And so, you know how you will search for a definition of something and it will be, it's just so glaringly obvious that no one who actually identifies with this was involved in the definition. Because everywhere that I looked about the technicality of the term demisexual, people added this thing of like, might have a lower sex drive.
Mm.
And I can tell you that is completely false.
Yeah.
If I smack you,
yeah,
it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Right. I feel comfortable with you. I feel open enough, and then it's like I can't get enough.
Yeah. No, I saw, you know, if I look at what anyone can go and Google what asexuality is, you will see that there is an indication that asexuality is basically around a low sex drive, you know, and that there is no desire because there's nothing sexual about the being. Every being has hormones, you know, every being will have natural instincts and will have desires, and that might come from physical attraction or from emotional, you know, attraction. And the difference between demi and asexual being simply around emotions and being around establishing a safe relationship or a safe space, or just kind of first falling for someone and then having a sexual interaction, that is what most people partake in the world.
It is.
We just don't know this woke term or have access to this language of demisexual. But most people, if you look at older generations, they first got married or dated or, you know, and they were like, yo, I smacked this person second, we're going to get married, then we're going to pump.
Yeah.
You know?
Some people got married to pump, you know?
Yeah, you know. So a lot of the times, the emotional hold and the emotional establishment, that is made first in most relationships. That's something that's natural. That's definitely not an indication of a lower sex drive.
Yes. You know? I agree with you.
I'm just like, well, then we need to have the discussions, because I was not taught about demisexuals or asexuals while we were in school.
No, neither was I. And I only found out, I don't want to say later in life, because I am only 27. but in the last 2 years, discovered that these terms, you know, represent me so well. And I was very happy to learn them. I guess the way I learned about it was after I had left South Africa. You know this. I left for a while at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in the US until May, but then salam COVID. But I left the partner that I was with at the time as well. We mutually decided that we wouldn't be in a long distance relationship. And once that ended, I didn't want anyone to touch me. Not at all. I felt very sex averse, which is on the spectrum of asexuality. And that's when you don't want sexual contact at all. You don't want someone touching you in a sexual way. You don't even want someone looking at you in a sexual way, to be honest. At least that was my experience of it. And I was trying to make friends. I was trying to make queer community when I was staying in DC. And I met someone on the Lex app. And I was walking with her.
What's the Lex app?
The Lex app.
Yeah, what is that?
I love this. Oh my gosh. Everyone in South Africa needs to get on the Lex app right now. I haven't been paid to say this. but it is like putting personals in the newspaper like people used to do, but in app form. Okay. And it's for queer people.
Oh, I have seen this on Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can download the app. It is in South Africa now. It would be very, very great if I wasn't just talking to myself on there. But so I met this person on Lex and we decided to meet up, and we were taking a walk to go to this queer bar called A League of Her Own in Washington, D.C. And so she was asking me about my asexuality, because I had mentioned it. I had entered it into the chat, so, you know, free and open to speak about it. And she said, well, you're asexual, but does that mean you are aromantic? And then I had to think about it, because that's not something that had occurred to me. And at that point, I was indeed aromantic, because I think she was trying to find out, you know, like, what is your vibe? Where can we take this? Are we just going to be friends? And through that conversation, I could say, yes, we were. And now fast forward to love in time of corona. I spent about 3 weeks getting to know someone who identified and made it known to me that they were sex averse asexual, right? And I'm getting to know this woman, very, very lovely, gentle heart, sweet soul. Too bad it didn't work out. But it was a lovely time. And we went on like 4 dates before we had our first kiss, right? And I didn't mind that. Also, at that point in time, I was celibate. So for me, it was like, I already know I don't need this to make a romantic connection, to make an emotional connection, to enjoy spending time with someone in an alternative, intimate manner. It doesn't have to be through sex. So I already knew that about myself. So I was like, let's do this. I'm keen to get to know you. You're a lovely person. You treat me well. You treat service people well, which is a very big thing for me. you care about the environment and all of these things or whatever. And then the day we had our first kiss was shocking to me, right? Because here you have me, celibate, and here you have this other person, asexual, sex averse, first kiss, and everything was just vibrating. Everything was like, oh my gosh, I'm so turned on right now. Mm. And it was mainly coming from her. And for me, I was like, I didn't think this was going to be a concern. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, where is this coming from? And she's like, I don't know, but I'd like to follow it. Mm. And we ended up not having sex because I was decidedly celibate at the time, which I'm really fortunate that she, you know, respected. It was very difficult, though.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it was a challenge. As soon as you say you can't, as soon as you say, no, I don't want that, then it's like, oh, damn, I do want it.
Yeah. So it was very interesting to me because sometimes it will happen that way. And I think people need to realize that it is a spectrum. It is fluid.
It is also circumstantial.
It is exactly that. That's so important. That's actually something I made a note of here. It is definitely circumstantial.
But also, you spoke about being celibate, right? Mm-hmm. So celibacy is it's a choice, you know. Mm. It can be a lifestyle choice. It can be a choice of a like certain amount of a period of time that you are not going to partake in anything sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is, I think some people confuse that with asexuality, that person is celibate. And that is, I think the two are completely separate. You know, someone, you can be, you can identify any type of way and be a hypersexualized person and you know, partake in a lot of sexual acts and still go into a period of time for, maybe it's for Lent or it's for something else, you know, that you see yourself in this period of time, I am celibate and this is for whatever personal reasons you have. Why, if you don't mind sharing, why, besides going through a breakup, why and how long were you celibate for?
So after the breakup, right, and even during that relationship, I was dealing with PTSD from sexual trauma, which I don't mind sharing. Also, should have put a trigger warning there.
Yeah.
But so I apologize for that. But I had a lot of trauma to deal with, and I couldn't, at the time when I was with the partner I was with, you know, like, we already had a sexual relationship and an established sexual relationship. And I think we can maybe get into that later about what it means to be in a sexual relationship and be ace. Mm. Because lines become blurred and you have to really be honest with yourself about what you want to be doing and what you don't want to be doing, because like that leans into feelings of obligation, power, of expectation, of guilt and shame about not wanting to have sex, then you go along with it. But I suppose,
but we find that in most relationships.
Yes.
You know, I don't think that I identify as being asexual because of what I've been taught, and then because I go like hills and valleys, you know. I go like through being extremely horny and pumping like a rabbit, and there's nonstop, and there's not enough time in a day to have enough sex, you know. And then I go through times that I'm like, no, I don't lust. It's not on my mind, and it's not what I want.
Yes.
And the people that I date and see have to realize that I'm not going to initiate it for that amount of time, and I don't know when that heel is going to come and go, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also, my emotional state is like that, and so my mental state is like that, and so my sex is like that, you know. But so I can't really talk on the fact of being celibate or being asexual, but in having a relationship, like you're saying, with someone that you discover your asexuality, or you know that you're asexual while you have this sexual relationship, do you have to put up boundaries? Do you have to make the other person aware of how far the sexual encounters can go?
You know, I think had I known these terms while I was in that relationship, I would have been able to navigate it a lot better. But I didn't at the time. And due to no fault of my partner, I mean, we had a great sexual experience together. You know, it was a good match for the most part. And I have no complaints and I hold no resentment. I just think that all of my previous sexual interactions could have been maybe a bit more well thought out, and me being a bit more firm about what my boundaries are. What do I actually want to do and what do I actually not want to do? What do I feel obliged to do and what's worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there were a few of those interactions that really never needed to happen. There was no learning there, if you know what
ooh,
I mean.
I know from a young age.
To get back to the question about where do celibacy and asexuality intersect, because they really are not in the same WhatsApp group. Not at all.
No.
You can be asexual and engage in sex that you want to engage in, right? Mm. So my choice to be celibate was for a reason that I don't feel it's necessary to discuss.
Yeah.
But it was a personal choice and I wanted to stick to it.
Yeah.
Which
is what celibacy is. It is
exactly what it
choice.
Is. It's got nothing to do with your orientation. It's just a choice about what you want to do with your body and how you want to engage with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, getting to know this woman, and it was very shocking to me when she all of a sudden was so turned on and really wanted to get in my skirt, as it were, because I really wear pants. but generally, she did not experience sexual feelings or desires toward other people, right? And so it was very surprising to her as well. I was happy for her to experience that because that excited her. It's so rare. And from my point of view, it's also very rare for me to be sexually attracted to someone. I need to know who you are first. And that's why demisexual is very, it's such a lovely
very
term
you.
For me.
It's very you.
I do feel that way. And you know how you were saying earlier, you talk about sex a lot. I don't mind talking about sex at all. And if you look at the way we can speak about sex, you would think we have sex all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do not.
Yeah.
I certainly don't. It takes a lot for me to make that part of myself available because I do need to feel safe. And it's not like this for everyone, but I have experienced sexual trauma. And sometimes there are doctors that would say feelings of being asexual are like a symptom of PTSD, which I think kind of is not the right way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to have had a sexual trauma to be asexual. And that's something I really wanted to get out today because... Mm-hmm. People like to say things like, oh, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Why are you not sexual? As if it's any of your business. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, maybe it's because you haven't had a good time before. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are so harmful and so rude also. Like, who the fuck asked you? Like, why are you even approaching me with this?
Mm-hmm.
But from a safe space like this where we can help explain and sort of, you know, help other people understand. I just want to say that asexuality has nothing to do with being a sexual trauma survivor,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with having a lack of good sexual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are sex averse because they just think that interactions of body is yucky. They just don't like it. It's just not their vibe. They don't have that draw, that, you know, magnetic pull to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been... in a relationship with a person who only after the fact came out as asexual, but sex was not a big part of our relationship anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we would cycle across New York. We would have fun together. We would go and eat together. We would lay and watch movies together. We would have that closeness, but sex really entered the chat. And I suppose that I should have known sooner because I have a lot of love for this person still. They are still a really dear friend of mine. I knew then already that sex is not the begin all and end all for my relationships, and it's not something I need for a relationship to survive or be considered as successful.
Mm-hmm. And to have connections. I mean,
we
if we look at our dynamics with our families, right? You can, let's say chosen families also, you can connect through food, through dance, through culture, through shared experiences, through conversations, through movies, through chilling, through cuddles, whatever. There is no necessarily sexual counters for you to feel connected and to love someone deeply. And it doesn't feel like something is missing in that friendship or in that relationship with someone.
Exactly, yes. And I find that, like, with one of my closest friends at this point, people project a relationship onto us. They think, oh, no, you must be seeing each other. Mm-hmm. You must be seeing each other. Because we, I suppose, the things that we put out can look kind of romantic, but it is a deep platonic love.
But why can't platonic relationships be romantic? Why can we not be romantic with our friends?
Exactly. I mean, we're going on a date tonight. You know what I mean?
You know?
And it's such a deep love and such a deep connection. And sex is not even... it's not even a thought. It's not even a twinkle in someone's eye. Because it's not necessary to form deep connections. And knowing myself and... you know, assessing my previous romantic encounters or entanglements, whichever you would like to call it, sex has never been necessary for me, though it is something I do enjoy under the right circumstances. And my sex drive is by no means low. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, this is just how I live my life. This is how I experience the world, and this is how I experience other people.
Yeah, and I think for someone hearing this for the first time, to pass this message on and to show people representation of asexuality, what do you want to make sure, Liesl, is represented when it comes to being asexual and when it comes to speaking about the spectrum that kind of goes, even though the LGBTQIA plus community, it is in there, you know, and sometimes we shorten, we take the P away, we take the A away, and we just don't discuss what the letters are. You know, I think it's important to say what asexuality is, but also for those that are in the spectrum and are in the bracket and call themselves, you know, asexual and identify as that, what do you wish is represented and what do you want to represent?
I suppose something that really touches my heart about this, that I want to assure closeted ace people about, is that, like, the fact that people, like, sexualize you and especially hypersexualize queer people, that is not your fault, and you do not have to participate. You do not have to prove your queerness through sex. Mm-hmm. That is, like, such an important thing that I would love for any ace person wandering out in the world. It's like, oh no, people are going to think I'm not queer or not queer enough, or they're going to think something is wrong with me, or they're going to wonder what's going on in my pants. Fuck that. You know, draw your boundaries. And then the other thing is that you can enjoy sex without feeling sexual attraction to someone. It just means that sex isn't the draw. It doesn't mean that you don't enjoy sex. Mm-hmm. Because we, like, within the ace, like, box or spectrum, you have sex repulsed, right? Sex averse, sex indifferent, sex positive and circumstantial. And that's like, there's so much room for you in that space, and you don't have to prove anything to anyone. You can say, for example, I have this relationship with person A, but sex averse. In this circumstance, I do not want to engage in sex with this person. Then you break up 3 months later, you're dating person B, and you cannot get enough of having sex with person B. That doesn't make your asexuality invalid. And that's also so important to me as a person who is constantly sexualized regardless of the context in which I am. You are valid.
Yeah.
And know that you are seen, maybe not by everyone just yet. But, you know, like, rest easy in the fact that being ace does not mean that something is wrong with you. It doesn't mean that your body doesn't work the way it should. I feel like a lot of people had that sort of insecurity. I know I did. After I left, I thought, oh my gosh, my vagina's broken. Like, what's going on? But it's not. There's nothing. There is absolutely nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with moving in and out of certain phases of your life and finding labels that suit you better, or saying that you'll stay labelless and describe these sort of feelings to other people. It's definitely valid, and nothing is wrong with us. Please don't ask us why we don't want to have sex. And don't question us, especially after we've spoken about sex. Because, like, we can talk about sex right now. It doesn't mean I want to go to bed with you right now. Like, it's adult conversation. Also, I think for many people, it's important to interrogate their reasons for having sex.
I can say that for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think language and education and access to the information is really important.
Yes.
Because if, like you said earlier, if you knew about being ace and asexuality and demisexuality and what that means, your sexual encounters, you would have interrogated and gone like, why am I doing this?
Mm.
Why do I want to do this? Can I cut myself off?
Mm.
Can I switch off while I'm doing this encounter? Do I want this encounter?
Mm.
You know, and for me, someone that partakes in sex work or that, you know, I sometimes do something just for an experience or to learn or to test how far I can go in a certain boundary. My friends will say, Lauren, you can have numb sex and then the next day you're fine. It's not that I can have numb sex. It's that I can interrogate why I'm doing it and what my body can switch off or what my body wants in that moment and why you are having that particular sexual encounter.
Mm. Yeah. I love this chat, by the way.
So I want, you know, I want people to be able to listen to this bite-sized podcast and know what asexuality is. But I also want people, if you're comfortable, to reach out to you and go like, is this a space that you are willing to speak to people about these type of things? Your Instagram is also really educational in a fun way, in like a colored way that's just like, where this is the news and it's cack and it's full of this. And yeah, also here's the woke that's terms that you're trying to break down. And, you know, and here's the weather from like Kraaifontein, you know. So how can people find you, Liesl, and get in contact with you and maybe request some embroidery art pieces that are really beautiful?
So on Instagram, I am at Lady Liesl. That's at LadyLiesl.
LiesL. For those people that want to come put the Z.
And then on Twitter, I'm at The Lady Liesl.
Okay. So Lady Liesl Instagram, The Lady Liesl Twitter. Is it a safe space for people to reach out and ask questions?
It is.
Respectfully?
It is a space to, I do welcome that. I also just like to remind people that I will respond in my own time because I'm also on the scuttle trying to make a living here.
You don't work for them.
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. But I'm very, very happy to share. And if there comes like a collection of questions, and I'll put those out in videos and then highlight them on my stories as I do with many things.
I'm
very, very happy to do that. As long as you come correct, we can have a good time.
Then you can come. Thank you, Lady Liesl. Thank you for educating and having an important conversation that I think people think maybe I have forgotten to include. But I don't want to, as we shouldn't, speak on other people's experiences. Mm. So thank you for coming forward with your experience. I love you.
I love you so much.
Yes, sir.
Open wide. Say ah.